Welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show. I'm David Gardner, broadcasting from Fool Global Headquarters here in Alexandria, Virginia, here each week to talk about the motley world of money and investing. On this week's show, an artist who specializes in Alan Greenspan and the director of the Enron documentary, The Smartest Guys in the Room. But we kick things off by talking about the week's big news, and that would be Disney's acquisition of Pixar, the animation giant that's headed by Apple CEO Steve Jobs. Alan Deutschman is the author of The Second Coming of Steve Jobs. He joins us from San Francisco, California. Alan, welcome back to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Hi, it's great to be back.
Alan, your book was written in the year 2000. It was entitled The Second Coming of Steve Jobs. Is this the third coming of Steve Jobs now?
You know, actually, I think it's more like the fourth coming. My book wrote about Jobs' return to Apple and the turnaround there with the iMac and the original success of Pixar with Toy Story. But since then, we really had the third coming of Steve Jobs with the phenomenal success of the iPod. So this is more of his fourth act, or maybe it's even better just to see this as the latest in the constant series of reinvention that comes from Steve Jobs.
It's amazing. Well, let's talk about the week's big news. Disney's acquiring Pixar in a $7.4 billion deal. Shareholders like me will get, for our old shares of Pixar, 2.3 shares of Disney per share. Steve Jobs is the CEO and co-founder of Pixar, as is well documented. He will now become Disney's largest shareholder and a board member as well. What do you make of this deal?
Well, I think it's a good deal. You know, Disney and Pixar have been partners for the past decade. Pixar makes the movies. They're the best at making animated movies. Disney is unmatched in its ability to do marketing and merchandising and distribution of movies. And, you know, now that Steve Jobs is getting along with the new CEO of Disney, it kind of made sense to do another long-term deal. And it's kind of like, you know, if you've been living together for that many years, you might as well get married.
Well, and as a Pixar shareholder myself, and I actually do own some Disney too, I'm often used to seeing my stocks get a little bit more of a buyout premium. You know, the stock will be bid up more when an acquisition is announced than the price. In this case, there wasn't that big a premium. And that leads me to ask you, do you feel as if maybe any criticism that Jobs sold Pixar on the cheap, maybe even to help Apple, is that in any way warranted?
I don't think that's warranted. I mean, it's true that Disney is hardly paying above market price, and there's usually a premium. But, you know, the reality is that Pixar has only made hit movies. They're six for six in doing blockbuster movies. And so they're kind of at the top of their game. And, you know, one of these days, Pixar is going to have a flop. I mean, it's inevitable. No one in the history of Hollywood has sustained a longer streak than Pixar, and even the best creative people and the best technical people, you know, I mean, Jobs is selling Pixar, you know, after an incredible run. I mean, in terms of creatively, there's no reason to expect that the streak can go on forever.
And many of us have seen the trailers for Pixar's next movie, which is Cars. And that movie, as you know, was actually delayed from its initial time that it was going to debut. Any chance that Cars might be the bomb, and maybe Jobs knows that, and so let's sell Pixar now at the perfect moment?
I think Cars is going to be great. I mean, any movie that has the two guys from NPR's Car Talk show doing voices, that alone. from what I've seen of Cars, I think it's going to be another hit. But you know, the reality is that when Pixar first did Toy Story, computer animation was so fresh, it was so new, it was so shocking. You know, now lots of people can do it. Pixar doesn't own it anymore. Not only has DreamWorks had tremendous success, but there's a whole new wave of new digital animation studios who can do these kind of movies at a fraction of the cost of Pixar. So I think it's just going to be harder for Pixar, not that they aren't the best at what they do, not that they aren't creatively and technically brilliant, but you know, their field is becoming more mature, and there's going to be a lot more competition from new players who can do for $30 or $50 million what Pixar does for $120 million.
Before Bob Iger was named CEO at Disney, some, like Roy Disney Jr., as we recall, were making a case for Steve Jobs to actually replace Michael Eisner. Do you think that Jobs is positioning himself to one day replace Iger at the helm of Disney with this deal?
You know, a lot of people are speculating that, and it's a dramatic idea, and it would make a great story, but I don't think that's what's happening. You know, Jobs is going to own 6% of Disney, and they'll make him the biggest shareholder, but, you know, 6% does not give you control, and being the 14th board member, you know, doesn't give you that big of a vote. You know, plus, Bob Iger is still in his honeymoon stage. The board just picked him. In the short time that he's been in power, he's shown that he really gets it. He gets it about the future of Hollywood and technology. He's doing bold, dramatic things from the beginning. You know, I mean, I think that if in several years, Iger winds up just striking out, then, you know, all bets are off about who, you know, would run Disney after that. But I think, you know, he's still early on. He gets it. He's doing dramatic things. And I really don't think that Jobs' hidden agenda is to set up a palace coup. I think that Jobs is really motivated by being a player in the future of the digital convergence, being the head of Apple. Puts him in a great position to do that, and having this new stronger alliance with Disney only makes that better.
Mm. Alan's been said that Jobs' office at Pixar is one of the cleanest because he's never really there. Is that a fair knock, or is he more hands-on than we've been led to believe?
Well, you know, in the early days of Pixar, the other Pixar executives wouldn't even let Steve Jobs have an office there because they didn't want him meddling in their day-to-day making of the movies.
Mm.
From the beginning, they've been able to keep Steve Jobs at arm's length, you know, sort of keep him down there at Apple, running Apple. And Jobs, you know, has never been involved in the day-to-day making of the movies and operations of the company. He's played more of the role of a owner and chairman, whose main role has been making the deals with Disney, its main partner, and promoting movies when they come out once a year.
Alan, your 2000 book, The Second Coming of Steve Jobs, was primarily about Steve Jobs returning to Apple. We're now about 6 years later. What's the grade, the letter grade, you give Steve Jobs as CEO of Apple?
Oh, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, A+. He has reinvented that company. The iPod is just a phenomenal success. Not only that, but, I mean, he's reinvented the music industry, and the business model that he's developed is on the verge of reinventing Hollywood and the whole business of video entertainment. You know, it's been a phenomenal story, and he's shown not only is he a visionary in interface and design, but he's been incredibly innovative with business models, and he's shown that he can really run a company from financial and operations standpoint, it's been first notch.
Mm. It's funny because at the time you wrote the book, Steve Jobs was regarded by stock market investors as not that successful at creating shareholder value, certainly not nearly as much as Bill Gates, who was getting a lot more publicity back in the year 2000. Things seem to have really changed here by 2006.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates were friends in the old days, and they actually went on some double dates with each other when they were both single guys. And
wow,
you know, Jobs was.
Hold on there, Alan. I'm trying to picture that. Are that actually happened?
Oh yeah, no. It several times they went on double dates together, and they were kind of intrigued with each other because Jobs had the reputation for being the creative visionary, and he was envious of Gates' reputation as the great business person. And, you know, Gates was envious of Jobs' reputation as a creative visionary. Both men really wanted to be seen, you know, both as great business people and as technological innovators and visionaries. And it took Steve Jobs a long time. And after getting kicked out of Apple, you know, he spent 10 years really struggling and failing on his own in business and really almost going broke and losing all the money he made from Apple the first time. But he's learned a tremendous amount over the years, and now Jobs has become a tremendous business person as well.
Mm. As we close, Alan, what do you think motivates Steve Jobs going forward? Let's get in his head for a second.
Well, you know, since the personal computer revolution began in the 1970s, Jobs has always wanted to be a player at the forefront of this revolution that's reshaping society. And that's been his motivation all along, and it's still his motivation. Just now, the microcomputer revolution doesn't just affect, what we know as the computer industry, but it's really taking over the entire entertainment field when, we're beginning to see now that, going to the movies, doesn't, mean going to the movie theater. I mean, the same day as movies come out in the theater, they're going to be available for download over the internet to, all kinds of digital devices from the size of an iPod to a home theater. And, Jobs is now in his, the fourth decade of being at the center of this revolution. I think that's what really motivates him, both from, a creative standpoint and from a power standpoint as well.
Mm. Alan Deutschman is the author of The Second Coming of Steve Jobs, and you can read more of his work at alandeutschman.com. Alan, thank you for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Great to be here.